Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the New Testament book of Galatians. Now to Pastor Chris.
Galatians 4 on Through the Word, and a closer look at what it means to be God's kids. That's what we are, after all. The Bible does not say that every human being is God's child, though we are all made in His image, and we are all invited to be His child, in Christ, everyone. So if that's the offer on the table, what does it entail? What are the perks? What are the responsibilities? Remember that Galatians is all about justification by faith. We are made righteous, right in God's eyes, shackles off and free to live, justified by faith in Jesus. It is a gift of God's grace, and it cannot be earned by following law or doing works. Now, the Galatians should know that by now, but they are falling back into working for it, into rules, rituals, and religion, legalism. And as we shall see today, it is stealing their joy, the pure joy of being God's kids. We finished off Galatians 3 with a powerhouse passage. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Did you catch that word? Heirs? That means that being God's kids includes an inheritance. Me and you, heirs. So what do you think he left us? You know, Dad. What did he put in that will? Let's open up chapter 4 and find out. At verse 1. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. What Paul is driving at here is that God planned for his people to be heirs all along. But before Jesus came, his people were like very young heirs, too young to take over all the responsibilities of inheritance just yet. After all, inheritance is as much responsibility as it is blessing. So a young heir has a guardian. You own it all, but you can't do anything with it. For God's people, the guardian was the law, and the law treats us like slaves. Do this, don't do that, enforced goodness. The heir is loved, not owned, but kept safe by the guardian, and treated pretty much like a slave. The law keeps us in line before we're born again, keeps us in bounds, puts on the shackles when our hands are dangerous. That's good. It is not a safe idea to give a kid total freedom before he's mature, and it is just as foolish for God to give a sinful soul total freedom without regeneration. But when an heir grows up, they are free. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Now that's awesome. That's why Jesus came, to redeem us. That's the word for purchasing freedom for a slave. But not only to redeem, to adopt. Now that's amazing. And to seal the deal in verse 6, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Wow. Do you know the freedom of calling him Dad? This is reality. In Christ, you went from slavery to freedom, to a fully grown heir of God Almighty. But then, verse 9, but now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? The Galatians are going back to law, back to slavery. How are they going back? Verse 10. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid I have labored over you in vain. So the return to slavery under law was subtle. They were observing religious days and seasons. Seems harmless, right? Even seems good. Keep the Sabbath, celebrate a few Jewish holidays, or for me and you, Christmas and Easter. Maybe some Lent, maybe throw in a little Mardi Gras. No harm done, right? Well, this is the part of the show where we step on a few toes, so watch your feet. First of all, my opinion is not of import here. But what is the Bible saying? Is it wrong to observe religious days? Christmas, Easter, Lent? Now careful here. There are two ways to go wrong on this one. If I tell you, do not celebrate, that's treating you like a slave to my laws. If I tell you, you must celebrate it, still a slave. Hey, you are not under law. You are an heir. This is not a question of have to. In fact, if your whole question is what you have to do or cannot do, or what you can get away with and still be saved, you're treating God like a slave driver. Grow up. Listen, Christmas and Easter are great, but if you're a Keister Christian, you know, I put my Keister in the pew on Christmas and Easter, and my job's done. What makes us think that's worth something? Do we punch a clock every time we walk in the church? Overtime on holidays! And why on earth do professing Christians get drunk on Christmas, plastered on Mardi Gras, and balance it all out by giving up meat for Lent? Wrap it all up with a green beer for St. Patty and a chocolate bunny and make it one big springtime present for God Almighty. Does anyone think this makes sense? How did we get here? I'll tell you how we got here. Religion. Rules. Rituals. We act like foolish kids, heirs too young to handle real freedom. I am not against holidays. I'm against empty rituals. The real question is why you do it. Why do you fast for Lent? Why do you drink green beer for St. Patty or hide plastic eggs for your kids? Or if you don't, why do you judge the Christians who do? Are you obeying God as a slave or honoring God as a son? Are you toiling as a debtor or rejoicing as a daughter? Drunk or judgmental, guilt-ridden or guilt-giving, both of you are miserable. God wants his kids free and joyful. And joyful is exactly what the Galatians were not. They had joy, and they lost it. In verse 14, Paul remembers the awesome love and amazing welcome that the Galatians had given him when they first were saved. But in verse 15, what then has become of your blessedness? Or in the NIV, what has happened to all your joy? And here we have the side effects. Warning, legalism may lead to feelings of guilt, judgmentalism, hypocrisy, green beer, no green beer, occasional bloating of the ego, and in some cases, death of joy. Your joy dies. Hey, there's a reason that we call self-righteous people joy killers, because they are. Like the prodigal son's older brother, they just can't enjoy grace, no matter how great the party. For the Galatians, learning grace led them to love and generosity. While he was there, Paul had a serious eye problem, and the Galatians loved him so much, Paul says, "You would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me." Now that's not because they had to, that's because of grace. But then legalism crept in, rules, rituals, and suddenly the people who didn't meet their standards didn't deserve that kind of grace. They deserved judgment. The joy killers showed up, and they were zealous about it. Verse 17 in the NIV. Those people are zealous to win you over, but not for good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may have zeal for them. When legalistic people show up, oh, they're zealous, and they will always alienate. Get the gossip mill rolling and divide your loyalties. Cults are notorious for this. Zealous and divisive. Read Galatians 4 today, and if you're intrigued by this story of law and grace, I'll recommend another one. Victor Hugo wrote what I believe to be the greatest allegory of this gospel of grace ever recorded. If you saw Les Miserables and missed the picture of law and grace, watch it again. The dramatic version captures it best. The book is 1,500 pages. I won't judge you if you skim. For today, remember, we are heirs, and God's will for us is joy, freedom, and a life of grace, with no side effects.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and teaching pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.
Say that again. Welcome to Through the Word.
Welcome to Through the Word. You said that's your tone.